Open your Bibles. Let's see now. What would be a good book? Let's see, maybe John. But I'm going to surprise you, John 16. John 16. We're still doing the face-to-face 10-year review, I guess you would call it, reading them again with a 10-year perspective. Wednesday night, we emphasized this one part that he was talking about on attaining instant answers to immediate problems. When Jesus, again, when he was about to leave the planet and he was telling the 12 that he's going to go be with the Father, they said, well, how are we going to follow you? Can we go where you're going? No, you can't go to heaven with me now. Where I'm going, you can come later, but you can't come now. He says, well, how are we going to follow you? And so he introduces the Holy Spirit, chapters 14, 15, 16 of John, explaining to them how the Comforter was coming and how he was going to bring them the Lordship of Christ. And one of the most important verses in there is this one in John 16. Well, first off, over in John 14, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And that's what they were worried about. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan to have to find your own way. I'm going to send you this other Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And see, for that's so important to Sue and I, because for 12 years, even though we were baptized in the Holy Ghost, for 12 years before we found the prayer center and the message that's taught here, we were doing our best to follow Jesus, but we didn't know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit real well. And so, to a large degree, we did feel like orphans. We were doing the best we could, kind of, go along a certain direction, bump into a brick wall, go, well, maybe that's the devil, maybe it's God, But thank God for the day that we started attending here and began to find out, well, you can develop a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's good to have faith, but it's good to have faith and be led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, then, one of the most important things that he said here is John 16, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Boy, for a long time, I didn't realize how important that was. But what he's really saying there, again, the Holy Spirit is not coming to replace my Lordship. He's not coming to speak on his own authority. He tells them what's going to happen. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And the Holy Spirit being omnipresent, he's with Christ in heaven all the time. He's with every believer on earth all the time. And I like to say it this way because people in our generation understand it. He is better than email. I mean, we can understand that if we could every morning go to our computer and get an email directly from Jesus and there's your instructions for the day. Would that not be a good deal? Well, he's even better than that because he's continually with you, Internet goes down once in a while. Holy Spirit never goes down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Electricity may go off, but you still got the Holy Ghost. See? Hallelujah. And in this last part, he says, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, in this one face-to-face document here, and this one is communion with the Holy Spirit, and this is really the third service that we've done teaching on that one. We're going to focus today on the second part of something he said here. So let me pick it up about middle way through this, and we'll quickly capsulize Wednesday night and then go on. He said, I am saying this in many different ways to make sure you understand my purpose and my intentions for my children's communion with the Holy Spirit. Now, he said there are two levels to progress to, and I want you to walk in them both, and I want you to become expert at walking in them both so you can train others to walk in these paths. Or what are the two levels? He said the first one is this. I say this plain. I say this straight. I intend for all of my children to walk in communion with the Holy Spirit to the point that they obtain instant answers from him for every situation they come up against. But glory to God. And he says here, people are going to think this is almost impossible. But really, if you think about it, was it impossible for the 12? They were walking with him. If they'd have come up on any situation, wouldn't they have just turned to him and asked him? And he's saying the Holy Spirit has been sent for that exact same purpose. Now, that's bad grammar, but exact same. We're not orphans. And that's what he was trying to get across to the disciples. Look, this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, he's going to be with you all the time. He's never going to leave you. And he has what he hears, that's what he speaks. Don't worry, you're not going to be an orphan. I'm going to be with you. It's just not quite the same way. Not my bodily presence. But yet it is truly I that's going to be with you, but it's by my Spirit now. And it'll be just as if you're still walking with me side by side, only now you're walking with him. But it's the end result be the same. Well, we talked about that at length Wednesday night. He said, that is the first level, and when I say instant answers, I mean instant answers. It is not my intention that my children be hindered by being always behind in seeking my mind, the mind of Christ, for the situations they come up against. I intend for their communion with the Holy Spirit to be so constant that he is as one walking alongside them, just as Jesus would be in the flesh. In every situation, they are to turn to the Holy Spirit and ask questions to which they receive instant answers. My Spirit has access to all of the treasures of wisdom that are in Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ has been made unto you wisdom. He has all wisdom. All wisdom has been imparted unto him as a treasure for you. The Spirit I have sent to commune with you has instant access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I intend for those answers to be available to you instantly in every situation. This is level one. In the natural realm, a man who is walking a narrow, rugged, and dangerous mountain trail needs light while he's on the trail. Can y'all picture, you ever seen those little trails going down into the Grand Canyon? That rascal's a mile deep, you know. You know, that's why they put you on the mule, because the mule is more sure-footed than you. And one thing about a mule, they're stubborn. You can't make them take a step that's dangerous to themselves. But see, if you're going down that trail and it's dark, little old narrow trail, don't you need some light? If you're not on the mule and you're on your, you know, one misstep and it's a mile down. You know, he says here, so picture that kind of a trail. He says you need light while you're on the trail. Walking the trail in darkness while believing for light to come 40 days later would be of no value whatsoever, says the Lord. And it is the same in the realm of the Spirit. I sent my Spirit to light your path. Look at how he said this. On a daily, moment-by-moment basis. See, that's why the Holy Spirit's better than email. You don't have to run back to your computer to check every hour. You can be in constant communion with him and be getting updates all during the day in your spirit. See? He is walking with you stride for stride, and he is available to you moment by moment. And I have sent him to be in your presence since you have difficulty getting into mine. I love that sentence. I love that sentence. That makes so much sense to me. My engineering brain can receive that. Let me say it again. That's too good. I have sent him to be in your presence since you have difficulty getting into mine. He is with you. Commune with him as if that were so. Now get this, for it is the highest order of reality. Did you hear that? See, when you start trying to do this and walk and talk with this invisible friend of yours, it seems like a game. I remember when I started trying to do it. You know, and you can, whatever it takes, I would make sure I'd clean, you know, clear off the seat next to me in the car. Make sure the Holy Spirit had a nice seat, you know. And all the while I'm remembering that old movie. Now, many of you are too young to remember this old movie. But it was Jimmy Stewart, and he had this invisible friend called Harvey the Rabbit. It's a hilarious movie, but the devil was using it to my disadvantage now, because he's going, are you going to start talking like Jimmy Stewart too? For that same accent, you know? Because it seems so unreal. But God says, this is, from his point of view, this is the highest order of reality. Oblivious is a word that we need to eradicate from the church. We're walking, from God's point of view, the reality is we're walking with the anointing every day And for the most part, we are oblivious to it. We're just flat oblivious to it. And that's why nothing changes. So he says it is the highest order of reality, although it seems very much like a game when you start. Now, let me put you in remembrance of it, because the next thing we're going to start talking about, the second level. I'm going to remind you of a few examples of instant answers to immediate problems from the Word and from mine and Sue's experience. From the Word, remember the time that they came and asked Peter, "Does your master pay the tribute?" You know, y'all ever have a tax? The taxes were due today. You need to send the check, and you don't know how to cover the check. Well, he got an instant answer what to do. Trouble is, it's not like you would expect, you know. He sent him fishing. And normally in that day, you can read it in the Gospels, they fish using a net. But he says, "No, I want you to use a hook. And take the first fish that comes up, look in his mouth, there'll be enough money right there." Now see, in order for that to happen, the Holy Spirit had to be messing with the fish. Can I say it that way? The Holy Spirit had to be directing a fish out there somewhere. Okay, go put, you know, pick up this coin somewhere on the bottom of the ocean, you know, a sunken treasure or something. Get this coin, put it in your mouth, swim this direction. See that hook? Bite it. So there's the koinonia between the Son and the Holy Spirit going on right there in order for that to happen. But sure enough, Peter received an instant answer to an immediate problem. All right, I'm going to do this quickly. I told you about the time Sue and I were coming back from a meeting in Florida, and we'd spent the night at a motel, and we got up the next morning, had breakfast, left. We were about an hour away from the motel, going through Louisiana, just made a right turn, headed north towards Arkansas, and suddenly, the Holy Spirit spoke two words to me. Heard it as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. And because he said it then, where we could act on it right then, it saved Sue and I $5,000. How's that for an instant answer to an immediate problem? But boy, we needed to act on it right then. I don't know if that situation would have still worked, even if we'd have waited another 2 or 3 hours. All right. Another time, then I gave you some examples of several times when our daughters were in rebellion. And two different examples where the Holy Spirit just began speaking to me. I was minding my own business. And we go out and get in the car. Drive west. Turn north. Turn left. Turn right. You know, one time he had me pull into it was like a hamburger stand type place. And I pulled up into the only spot that was available. I thought I'd missed it because I never saw any of my daughters there. Come to find out later, I found out she was in the car right next to where in the vehicle right next to where I pulled in. The windows were tinted. I couldn't see into the car, but boy, she could see Daddy. And it changed the course of events. I don't know what the devil had planned, but it changed the course of events. And then the other time, quickly, it's almost the same thing. Get in the car, go this way, turn right, turn left, pull in that driveway of the house you don't know. Oh, God. Now go knock on the door. What am I going to say? What? I don't know who lives here. What if a little housewife answers the door? You know, God sent me. What am I going to say? But when I knock on the door and the door opens, who is it? It's my daughter. Somewhere she's not supposed to be. Well, see, thank God for instant answers. See, but and I'll say this part again because it's important. See, used to I would have said, now I don't know why he didn't tell me about other nights that I found out later that were dangerous. But 10 years later, I don't say it that way. 10 years later, I say, I don't know why. I mean, it's a shame I was so busy and so oblivious that I could not hear him trying to rescue my daughters from danger, see? We're oblivious. Too much of the time. And one more. I told you about the one where this lady in a prayer line. Usually I say, well, you have something specific, and people tell me what they want, and I pray, and hallelujah. But this time she says, I'm not going to tell you nothing. I want you to pray and see if you hear God. Thank you very much. Let's see. I'm praying. And I knew her son. And I said, I saw a picture of her son driving a car. I said, does your son own a car? And boy, her eyes got a little bit wide. She says, well, that's why I'm here. I mean, I'm in the prayer line about my son's car. And I'm going, really? See, well, we don't know if it's stolen or not. It's He loaned it. It's not back. We're not sure yet, but we're thinking it might be stolen. We don't know whether to call the police. Pray some more, pray some more, pray some more. So all I see is your son driving the car. I think it's coming back. Well, that was a Wednesday night. And then Friday night, she told us, the car is back. Instant answers to immediate problems. Don't worry, the car's coming back. Don't have to call the police. Turned out to be correct. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, my favorite example of this, and I don't even know if it's true, but I want to believe it's true. Well, I've read this many times by many different authors. But during the persecution, that 70 years when Russia was just under the communists, completely under the thumb of the communists, you know, and it was illegal to have real churches, you know, so they'd meet underground. And I've read this more than one account of this. It was so dangerous that it would go like this. All right, we're going to have a meeting. But you're going to have to find out where and when from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when persecution gets really bad, I think that might be the way you do it. From what Jesus said, that's entirely possible. To get your email. Well, where's the meeting? Y'all ever get notices by email? Sure you do. Wedding showers, baby showers, everything in the world, you know. Well, Holy Ghost meeting. Where's it going to be, Lord? He tells you. When? What time? Tells you. Hallelujah. Alright. Now we're getting into the second level. Picking this up again, he said to me, the second level where I desire my children to attain is where their communion with the Holy Spirit is such that He shows them things to come. Again, I say to you, time is irrelevant to my spirit. Tomorrow is today. Yesterday is today. For your mind's sake, I will give you this analogy. It would be as though you are on a journey for me, on a path where I have sent you. Again, it is as if this journey were through a dense forest. And the Spirit has come already and set your direction like a compass so that you do know which way to go. But as you're cutting down these obstacles that are in front of you to progress on the path I've called you to, those obstacles block your view of coming things because you can only see one obstacle at a time. Yet the level of communion I desire for my children is that He, by the operation within Himself, lift you up above the forest where you can see the path extending in front of you. For your mind's sake, I will say, it is as though you see ahead, that your path will come to a river crossing where the bridge has been washed out. You are to know this ahead of time, and you will ask my Spirit what to do, and He will show you another way to cross the river. As another example, He will lift you up and show you that the land you are about to cross has famine in it, and there are no provisions there. You will seek His counsel, and He will tell you how to gather provision that will sustain you as you cross that land. Do you understand my mind? Do you understand the plan of the Father for the Helper I have sent you? These are my intentions. I have not left you as orphans. Does that sound familiar? John 14. I have not left you to find your own way through this world of darkness. Everyone take go. Aren't you tired of trying to figure it out? I got so tired of trying to figure out God's plan. Be honest with you, I got so tired of, now not here, but I got so tired of everybody else seemingly, they were able to prophesy my future. Trouble is, if you started gathering those prophecies together, they didn't agree with each other. I got so tired of trying, well, which one's of God, which one's not of God? Maybe God's called me to this, maybe God's called me to that. Trying to figure it out. It was a great day when I made the decision. I am no longer going to try and figure this stuff out. Rather than figure it out, I'm going to just pray it out. There is tremendous release. There is tremendous lack of pressure once you do that. And you just turn it over on Him and you trust Him that if you pray, He is smarter than you are dumb. He will get it across even to you. If he has to send 97 visions and 14 dreams and explain it to you 9 ways from Sunday, he'll get it across to even you if you'll trust him. And I found that to be the case. Now, just a few examples. Let me look here. He doesn't always give you every detail that you want, but he always gives you all the information that you need. Because you need enough to take action. And I've told you before about the who, what, when, where. He'll always answer those to the point that you're able to act on it. He does not always answer why. I'm telling you right now. I'll tell you this, though. I've found this to be true after 10 years. As your motivations are conformed more to his, and it's really more than motivations, as your love for others, your desire to help them. And that's not saying it quite right. You're more eager to help somebody else than you are eager for you to appear right. Did I say it correctly that time? As that develops in you more and more, you're going to find out he'll tell you why. Okay? Some examples. Remembering here. This was quite a few years ago. I was at the ugly building. I was praying. I was making our confessions, which, just going through. One of the things that we would confess, thank you, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a certain dollar amount every month for the ministry, and it was higher than what was coming in, but not a whole lot higher. I also would confess, thank you, that Gary and Sue have enough money to, you know, certain dollar amount. As I was making those confessions for the ministry, he just kind of interrupted me, but he just said, I want you to increase that. No, he didn't say I want. He said, increase that by $4,000 a month. Now, I love to do this. You guys probably already heard it too many times. How many of you would like it if the Holy Ghost would say to you, I want you to increase your monthly dollar intake by $4,000 a month? Usually when let me see your hand. Hey, most people usually answer that to, yeah, you heard the Lord, Brother Gary. That's got to be God. You know? But then right after that, I said, well, how many of you would still want that if the way it turned out, not one red penny of it was for you? Because that's the way it was. He intended that to be, you've heard us teach on pound and provision. This was all pound. It was all for the ministry. But this is an example of showing us things to come by giving us a word of wisdom in the present to prepare for something that was to come. All I did was X out on my little paper there. I just drew an X through the dollar amount and I increased it by 4,000. And from that day forward, when I come to that part, I thank you, Father, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has Zama Zama, and it was the amount plus 4,000. Nothing changed the rest of that month, and I don't think it changed the month after that. But the next month, without us doing anything different, we didn't send out an appeal letter, we didn't tell anybody about that change, we didn't do anything different. You can plot it on a graph, and it just went like 4,000 more a month on the average. Now it fluctuates some, but it was just 4,000 a month. Well, what I didn't know at that day, but I found out a couple of months later by praying, up until that time, the prayer center had done most of the duplicating. That was in the early days, and it was a lot. They did thousands upon thousands worth of dollars of duplicating and mailing and labeling and things for us that we couldn't have done. But there came a time when the Holy Spirit said increase that confession, but what he knew was coming just a month or two later. He says, I want you all that they've been doing. Now I want you to buy your own duplicators. I want you to bring that in-house. I want you to start having some employees. And I want you to start doing that in-house and take that burden off the prayer center. Would you all like to take a rough... Well, we did that. Would you like to take a rough guess how much that averaged? About $4,000 a month. Now, it got to be a whole lot more than that. That was in the beginning. Later on, it got to be so much. Just the postage, not counting... Just the postage during one part of that was over $4,000 a month. It got to be something else. Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and tell you this part, too. During that period of time, although the income, and I think part of the reason for this, I'm sure I missed God on part of it. If y'all go out and repeat that, of course, I'll deny it. There was a period of time where the income wasn't sufficient, yet the Lord had not changed his instructions. Now, Sue and I always got paid last. Okay, what I'm saying is, if everything, you know, everything else had to be paid, and if there's anything left, our paycheck, our provision would come out of that. Sometimes it was very minimal, okay? But even just, as Sue goes, very minimal. Or if any, I think is what she, yeah. Sometimes there wasn't any. But he all, you can tell we didn't starve, you know, he took care of us. But during that, there was some, but he didn't change his instructions. So there was a period of time where I would swipe the Visa because we got to have more cassette tapes because he told me to send them. Well, the money's not there. What do you do, Gary? I swiped the Visa. And what, I didn't steal it. I mean, what, you know what I mean? We used the Visa card. Swipe the Visa. Somebody might think I stole somebody. No, no. Went and bought them and they used the Visa card. That's what I mean. Okay. Is that God's best? I don't think so at all. I'm sure I missed it somehow during there. But I did hear this part. I was going, Lord, what about our credit rating, Lord? He says, what about you just obey me and let me take care of your credit rating? Well, see, he told me that same thing earlier years before when we first started out and money was staying away in great abundance. And, you know, we got behind on everything. I've told you about that. And then, too, I asked him, I said, what about our credit rating, Lord? And he said, well, you obey me and I'll take care of your credit rating. Well, that doesn't mean it always stayed real good, people. It got, our credit rating got pretty bad there for a while. But here, I'll tell you what, he rectified the whole thing just like he said he would, brought everything back. Our credit rating today is higher than it's ever been in our adult life, our adult married life. We could just buy just about anything on credit. And still yet with no visible means of support. It's amazing. Yet when you do that FICO, we're very near the top. We're not right at the top, but we're close. You obey the Lord, it'll be okay. Don't waver in the middle. Okay? All right. Here's some examples from the Word. We won't turn to this one because I've taught it so many times. Showing you things to come. How about Peter? In John 21. Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, when you were young, you did what you want, wore what you want, went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, about the age that you might be senile, about the age of senility, not that you'd be senile, you're going to become a martyr for me. You know, I've taught on that many times. He turned around, what about John, you know? But the point of it is, he gave Peter information that sustained him all the days of his life. Peter knew he was not going to die until he was an old man, about the age that somebody would be senile. Someone says, Gary, that's about your age now. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Not so, Lord. My mom's 87. I'm claiming her genes now. Her mind has always been better than mine, and it's still today, and that's the way I'm going to be too. Hallelujah. I'm going to be very sharp at age 87. But anyway, that's why Peter wasn't all distressed. He was sleeping in the prison the night before they're going to execute him. Even an angel walked in. Even the presence of an angel didn't wake him up. He's there asleep. Angel had to thump him on the side. Wake up. Well, Peter knew he wasn't going to die. It hadn't been but just a short time since Jesus had told him, you're going to live to be an old man. Peter knew he wasn't going to die. See, and that knowledge, he's going to show you things to come. I wonder how many other times that sustained Peter. No, I'm not going to die. You know, I can do this. It would make you fearless to go do whatever the Lord called you to do. If you knew you're not going to die, hallelujah. One of the things that's helped Sue and I, he told us, now this is kind of a word of knowledge, but it also greatly showed us things to come. And I've told you about this before. Just praying again. But up until the day that this happened, I'd always kind of assumed that one day I might wind up being a pastor. Again, I'm sure that's partly because the denomination I grew up in said everything had passed away except pastors and missionaries anyhow. There wasn't any apostle, prophet, so forth. Sunday school teacher, they allowed that. So I just always thought, well, I'll probably wind up being a pastor. My nature is kind of like that too, you know. And then one day the Holy Spirit, here's a word of knowledge, you know. He says, no, he's not called you to pastor. Now it's present tense. But then he said, and he never will. Now, he's telling me about the future now. telling me things to come. And it affected our... Of course, Sue was, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because that means she's not called to be a pastor's wife. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. Now, people call me Pastor Gary all the time, and that's fine. Just, I know I'm not one. You hang around me enough, you'll find out I'm not one either. I'm a teacher. I'll wrap your knuckles after about the third time. You know, pay attention. What's wrong with you? Do your ABCs again. What? Anyway, do your confessions. Anyway, I'm a teacher. I'm not really a shepherd. Okay? But see, that has served us well. Think of the things. He'll show you things to come. That knowledge has delivered us from all kinds of activities that we could have been involved in. All kinds of thought patterns. I don't even have to go down those trails. And it'll deliver you from a lot of well-meaning people who have a word from the Lord for you. I just can't tell you how many prophecies from well-meaning people, and I've never embarrassed them at the time or anything. Oh, Brother Gary. Yeah, here it comes, you know. Yeah. Oh, see a mighty church. Thou shalt be the pastor of 10,000. And we're always very nice, you know. Thank you. Appreciate it. Keep praying. But I already know that's not the case. So, I, you know, the devil can't put a hook in my jaw. Because I know, now if he hadn't have added that last part, and he never will, it'd be different. But he did. So I never have to worry about, where are we going to build a church? I never have to worry about, well, where are we going to get the land to build a church? I never have to worry about what's going to be the name of our church. None of those things, I've been delivered, thank God. My job is to follow him. Now, there could be other things. There could be land and buildings, but it would be some kind of teaching or training center. But he's never said anything to me about that. So as far, I don't even think about that. See, this is what I'm saying. I have been delivered. I don't have to try and figure it out whether he wants me to do a training center. If he wants me to do one, he'll get it across to me. My job is to pray. His job is to get it across to me. Amen. Y'all being quiet on purpose, or is it okay? All right. Turn to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see this one. The church is going to, the church at large, when I say the church, is going to be delivered from nice prophecy. Now, we're not changing the word. I know that all prophecy is given for comfort. What is it? Comfort? Exhortation? What's the other one? What is it? Reproof? Correction in righteousness. And anyway, so people normally take that to mean, oh, it's always going to be attaboy, you know. And prophecy is always going to be bigger and better and sweeter and nicer. Well, I'm glad when we get those, when they're real. But see, there is prophecy that is scriptural. That's not always nicer, sweeter, better, and more comfortable. For example, Acts, what did I say, go? 20. And we're after verse 23. Let's back up to 17. I'm talking about Paul. This is shortly before he gets arrested in Jerusalem, you know. He says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." Now notice, "not knowing the things that shall befall me there." In other words, he does not know the details, but he knows enough. And you can find that in the next verse. "I don't know the things that will befall me there, except," or save that, "except the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions wait for me." Then when he says the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, if we went backwards here a little bit, we'd find where Agabus told him that. Agabus was a genuine New Testament prophet. He not only prophesied that, he prophesied a famine. And the thing about Agabus, when he prophesied it, it came to pass. Glory to God. I mean, you know, a real one. And he took Paul's apron and wrapped it around his hands and said, the man that owns this is going to be bound like this. And the other disciples said, well, don't go. But he says, I'm bound in the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost was telling Paul to go. He says, I'm going anyway. I don't count my life dear unto me. I'm going. All right. Now, the point is this. This verse right here says, verse 22 and 23, I don't know exactly. I don't know the things that are going to happen to me there. But I do know this, because the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, everywhere Paul has gone. He'd go and somebody'd come and prophesy to him. And it's a little different than our prophecies, you know, that we always get. And I don't mean Dave's. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I'm really not happy with these little groups that get together with untrained people and prophesy to each other. Little bless me clubs. That's dangerous stuff, people. I want to know about how many thousands of hours have you prayed in the Spirit before you're standing there prophesying to somebody. How well have you developed your ability to hear Him? I want to know how many trips to the barbershop you've made. Because you need to make a few. Find out not everything you hear is the Holy Ghost. Learn how to tell the difference. These little groups get together, and I know they mean well, but you can prophesy some dangerous stuff to people. And I always get leery when every little thing is nice and pat on the back and attaboy. And He does love you, and He gives you lots of pats on the back. But every now and then He'll say, yeah, thus saith the Lord. How about like to Paul and come up and say, well, the next city you're going to, you're going to be handcuffed and arrested by the police. That's basically what he's telling them here. You're going to be handcuffed and arrested. And you go, God, I hope that wasn't a genuine prophecy. And you go to the next city to minister, and somebody comes up and prophesies to you and says, yeah, thus saith the Lord. When you go to Jerusalem, they're going to put you in handcuffs. You're going to be arrested by the police, put in handcuffs, put in jail. Every city, he'd get the same witness when it was really the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. And it was really the Holy Ghost. It was genuinely the Holy Ghost. I better go on quickly. Let's go on a little more on that same subject before we get off of it. Go to Acts 23. Look at verse 11. As you know what happened, he did go to Jerusalem. He did get arrested. He wound up, they almost tried to kill him. The Jews did. A Roman had to come and save him, deliver him from the people. Then he was taken and to Agrippa and Festus, and all this interrogation happened and everything. And eventually he had to call on Caesar in order to be delivered. We're picking up the story here quite a ways over here, but I want you to notice this. Let's see. Acts 23. We don't have time to read all of this. Let me just say he's called before the council again. And he noticed that half of the people there was Pharisees and half were Sadducees. Well, the Pharisees believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. So Paul used some natural wisdom here and he got them arguing amongst themselves. Okay, so picking it up in verse 9, he said, there was a very great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, now, did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? Did he say, that's how I'm going to lead you now? I'm going to leave heaven every time I need to talk to you. I'm going to come. No, what's happening here? The Holy Spirit is generating a vision. It's genuinely the Lord. I mean, it's genuine. That's why it says it is the Lord. But it's almost like, you know, opening up into another realm where Paul can see this. So the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, which he's already done, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Is that something to come or not? Jesus is just like Jesus stood and told Peter, you're going to live to be an old man, then you're going to be a martyr. Now he's telling Paul, Paul, you're going to testify of me in Rome. Now, go on to Acts 27. There's lots that goes on here. But a great storm arose. Y'all remember that? And to the point, they're transporting him to Rome. And, I mean, they think the whole ship is, you know, I mean, it's a bad storm. They start throwing the stuff overboard. Paul told them before they set sail, don't set sail. The Lord has shown me, or I perceive, I think he said, that this trip is going to be with great harm and loss, and you shouldn't even go. But they went anyway. Well, now this great storm has come. And I want you to notice this in Acts 27, starting in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Now, in this case, it's one of the rare occurrences. I looked it up and it's the word translated angel. God this time. But I don't know whether it's because of the tossing and the turning of the ship, and you know, there's, you know, all of the turmoil. I don't know why the Holy Ghost didn't say. I don't know why this time it was an angel, but it is. But I want you to notice what the angel said. The angel spoke in direct agreement with what Jesus had already told Paul. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. What did Paul say? What did Jesus say to Paul? You must testify of me in Rome also. Here this angel is coming because of all the circumstances are making it look like you're going to die. You're going to die. This is it. This angel comes like a reassurance. No, you know, you're going to testify before Caesar. The same thing exactly that Jesus had already told him. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. All right. Things to come. At that point, then Paul, who was the prisoner, now suddenly he is the savior of the ship, if you'll allow me. He starts giving them instructions what to do so that no loss of life occurs, and they eventually make it. Y'all seeing this? All right. Let me pick this back up here on the communion. Again, these are things the Holy Spirit was teaching me. He says, now what is needful to attain to these two levels? The needful thing is in the training I'm giving you in this season, says the Lord. These are the very lessons that I intend for you to use to notch the trail so that others who desire continual communion on this basis with my spirit will know how to follow the same path. You are notching that trail daily as you record my words to you. Has not my son said, the comforter shall show you things to come? He spoke the truth. This is my plan. Now listen. He's talking to me. You are able to attain to it. I was glad to hear that. Then he says, as are all believers, you should be glad to hear that, once they know how. What's the knowing how? Have I mentioned to you a 2-tape series by Pastor Dave Roberson called Distinguishing God's Voice? That is the how. That's exactly how you do it. And people say, well, I've done that and I've done that and I never have yet heard him start speaking in English. Well, I still think it's his highest and best that you will. And I think if you stay in there, I think you will. But I'm telling you this, 10 years experience, even if you don't, he will get it across to you some way that you can receive. You'll get it by a vision. You'll get it by a dream. You'll just suddenly understand and you don't know how you understand. You'll suddenly know what to do and you don't know how you know what to do. But you know what to do. He will get it across to you. If he has to do like he did Paul and prophesy in every city, everywhere you go, if they're genuine prophets, are going to all be telling you the same thing. He will get it across to you. Say this after me. He is smarter than I am dumb. My assignment is to pray. If I pray, he takes the responsibility for giving me instant answers to immediate problems and showing me things to come. Hallelujah. See, that's what I said. Quit trying to figure it out. Pray it out. Pray it out. Say, well, I don't hear him speaking in English. I believe if you stay at it long enough, you will. Or Chinese or whatever you speak. You know. But even if you don't, he will still get it across to you. He has more than one way to speak to you. Okay? Then he says here, he says, oh, how my body has neglected the helper I have sent. Boy, that rings so true to me. Because Sue and I for 12 years, and it wasn't, we just didn't know. We could pray in tongues. We could shandai along with the rest of them, you know, and would every now and then in church, you know, and be a nice worship service, and you'd move, and, you know, you get moved in your emotions, and we'd pray for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and sing in the Spirit even. But nobody had taught us there was any benefit to epoxying your britches to a chair, hanging your mantle up on the hook as you walk in. Quit trying to prophesy to everybody, sit there, you old thing, and just pray in tongues. Who knew that there was any benefit to that? You know, so we, by ignorance, really, neglected the ministry of the Holy Spirit because we hadn't been taught. We didn't know how to activate Him. See, for me, it's so, if you could get in here, inside, see, to me, it's so obvious. I love the Lord. Sue and I were trying to serve the Lord. I was a tapeaholic and bookaholic for 12 years, trying to mentally discern His plan for our life. And didn't love Him any less then than we love Him now. Loved Him the same. But we did not know how to activate the teaching ministry and the leadership of the Holy Spirit by praying in other tongues. So I have that 12 years always with me, and I know what that was like. And very much of it was like an orphan. I couldn't just, I mean, I'd pray and listen. I just, you know, couldn't. So we just do the best we could, hoping that it was God and trusting that He'd bless it, even if it was just kind of partially God. God, the difference. When we come here and I just started yielding my, you know, of course He had me, I told you before, He had me in the perfect job to do it. If anybody ever, I had no excuses, it was me. I was just that long haul trucker stuck in the cab of that truck. They're paying me for every mile. And I basically could get paid to pray if I want to. So I just wanted to. And I just started. And the difference. In fact, one of the first things He had to do was go back and start de-learning me. Is that unlearning a lot of the quotes, you know, the stuff I had learned from the books and the tapes. Because bless their hearts, all those men love God, but you're just in trouble if your intellect is your teacher. You're just not smart enough. The natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They've got to be spiritually discerned, processed, and then delivered to your mind. So He had to unteach me a lot of that stuff I'd worked so hard for 12 years. Now, not all of it. Some of it, thank God, was good. Thank God for a foundation of faith that we do have. Thank God for that. But there was a lot of stuff in there. I've told you about that. Hallelujah. So when how my body has neglected the helper. Boy, Sue and I know about that. My body, the body of Christ, has not understood nor discerned the measure of the help that He has brought to them. My spirit has been neglected and treated as one who must stand afar off. Yet will He not depart from the assignment that He voluntarily accepted. My spirit agreed to walk in the presence of men, that all of my mind and all of my wisdom and all of my counsel and all of my power might be available to the sons of the living God. But as the Pharisees of old rejected my Son who came to reveal me, so has my body neglected the Spirit who has come to reveal the Son. Now, my understanding of that has evolved over these 10 years too. He doesn't mean you can't be saved. Most of my relatives are Baptist. They love God. They're on their way to heaven. I grew up in that church. I've seen hard drinking, womanizing, gambling men. I mean, they just preach the gospel, just the cross and Christ and Him crucified. And I've seen those same men come to the altar, get saved and just be changed. Become, you know, family men, hard workers, no more gambling, no more drinking. Yet they do not have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. In fact, they teach against that. Okay? So he's not saying here that, and I know we have to have the Holy Spirit to reveal the Son to you anyway, and just to be born again. What he's really talking about here is the same thing he was talking about in John 14, 15, and 16. See, those of us that's, I've been saved and Spirit-filled for over a quarter of a century now. I need a revelation of him today. I need to know where my master is going, where he wants me to follow, what he wants me to do, and I'm only going to get that revelation from the Holy Ghost. I'm either going to get it from the Holy Ghost or I'm not going to get it. And I'll be left at pretty much an orphan, and I'll have to bow to my own intellect and try and figure out what I think he wants. Well, if I'd have done that, we'd be pastoring some little church somewhere way out on the fringe of God's permissive will. Because he never did call me to pastor, but I know that's where I would have wound up on my own. I know that's what would have happened. The Bible study in our home went for 2 years. That was not easy for Sue and I. We were early in the stages of mortification. So, you know, we should have warned the people. We should have had T-shirts on, strongholds are us when they come in, okay? But it was difficult. It was difficult. Yet the Lord used those Bible studies, and some of them, you know, some people are still here that used to go. Helena came sometimes and others. One of my son-in-law, someone who later in the future was going to become one of my son-in-laws, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered from all kinds of things at that Bible study. One lady near the end of it got healed of, what's that thing where you can't... Yeah, see, she's heard my testimony. Lactose intolerance. Was you there that night? Was you there that night? This woman before that couldn't drink milk of any kind. Couldn't eat pizza, nothing. She'd break out in hives immediately. Got prayed for, delivered. Sat there, drink a glass of milk, and wait for the hives. Hives never came. She was permanently and instantly 100% healed. Now, here we come. Praying. 2 years went by. And it's getting big. I mean, you know, our house is not very big. It's like 1,400 square foot house. Typical little 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And we had 55 people coming on an average basis. I mean, it was full. People sitting there, you had to walk like this to make it to the bathroom. Excuse me. People are sitting on the floor everywhere, you know. Indian style, just trying to... And then, on the same day, didn't give me any notice. Praying, getting ready for the service that night. And here we come. Assignment from heaven. If I did not have had this, if that day wouldn't have happened, we'd probably be pastoring some church right today, out at somewhere in the fringe of God's permissive will. Because he told me, tonight is the last Bible study. Was you there that last night? Was there not? Everybody, why? I mean, it was good things were happening. They were enjoying it at this point, even though it was difficult for Sue and I. It was the only thing we had going, too. Plus, he didn't tell me anything else except that. But see, that's all the information I had to have to act. I knew what to do. I knew when to do it. I knew where to do it. I knew how to do it. It's tonight. I argued. It didn't make any difference. I told the people this is the last one. And they're going, why? And I'm going, I don't know. Well, we want it to continue. I'm going, I do too. You know, if I hadn't have stopped it, as I look back on that now, what are you going to do when there's 75 people coming? What are you going to do? We're already getting in trouble with the neighborhood, you know. All those cars parked up and down the block, people thought it was either Amway meeting or a funeral. Nobody knew for sure, you know. You know? Well, are you going to start looking for some place big enough, you know, rent the library or rent, you know, something? What are you going to do when there's 100? Well, what would have happened? It would have almost of its own momentum. It would have become a church. And that was not his plan for me to pastor a church. I'd never heard that yet. At that point, I'd never heard you're not called to pastor. I didn't know that. That was several years down the road before I found that out. And with good intentions, but not listening to the head. See, and this is what he means. Not listening to the head of the church. Not getting your revelation of him from the Holy Ghost. Not getting his present hour speaking. We'd be out there pastoring some little church somewhere out on the fringe of God's permissive will, and he'd be blessing it. But it sure would not be what he really called us to do. So he said, my body has not understood nor discerned the measure of help that he's brought to them. My spirit has been neglected and scorned and treated as one who must stand afar off, yet he will not depart from the assignment that he voluntarily accepted. My spirit agreed to walk in the presence of men, that all of my mind, all of my wisdom, and all of my counsel, and all of my power might be available to the sons of the living God. But as the Pharisees of old rejected my son who came to reveal me, so has my body neglected my spirit who has come to reveal the son. Neglect not your communion with the helper. Prayer center, what does that mean? Pray in tongues. What I have spoken, this is the last paragraph. What I have spoken to you before, I speak now again to bolster your faith. You shall become expert at hearing the voice of my spirit. Say after me. I shall become expert. At hearing the voice of his spirit. Okay. And he says here, his voice shall be the voice most readily and easily heard in your spiritual ear, no matter the roar of circumstances that come against you, no matter the viciousness of the attacks launched by the enemy. You shall rest in the counsel of the voice of my spirit, and his voice shall be louder than all. His voice shall be the voice most easily heard by you. Hallelujah. I want to tell you about one other thing. This particular encounter launched a series that I taught several years later called The Serving Son. And in the course of that, there's several lessons. One of them is called The Serving Son's Helper. If you've never heard that series, you can afford it. It's free. It's at the website. Or we can get it to you on our DVD, which there's DVDs in the bookstore. But also, there's a document that you can print from the website, garycarpenter.org, and it's just called The Serving Son's Helper. On the home page, you click where it says Articles. Then it takes you to a list. One of them's called The Serving Son's Helper, and it summarizes a lot of what's on that tape.